Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, the now confirmed attack on innocent Ohio State University students yesterday by a machete-wielding Islamic jihadist Somali insurgent, and I used all those words carefully, demands serious answers about the strategies of Islamic jihadists and the Muslim Brotherhood in America, whose purposes are to encourage death and destruction. And we're going to focus this entire program today on this issue. Hello and welcome to Stand in a Gap Today. This is Sam Rohr. Today, David Kistler and Gary Dahl are both gone today. But to help me, hopefully help you understand what's really happening with Muslims and the Muslim Brotherhood in America and what may likely happen in our nation, I've invited back the president and founder of UnderstandingTheThreat.com, John Guandolo. He's a former FBI agent, an author of the FBI's training manual on counterterrorism and Islamic activity in the United States. And he's going to be joined by Chris Gobbets. He's the vice president of UnderstandingTheThreat.com. He is a former undercover intern who worked as an undercover intern within the Hamas-run Council for Islamic American and Islamic Affairs in Virginia. And that story, which was then put into a book, can be read in the book entitled Muslim Mafia, which can be purchased online on the UnderstandingTheThreat.com website. So, ladies and gentlemen, we got a full program today. If you can, contact your friends. This is information that you're going to really want to have today, and I am calling this, for lack of a better word, this is going to be an Islamic Awareness Course 101. We have the experts today on the program. We have an incident in Ohio that's prompted it. It's appropriate that we go through some of these details. So let me, having said that, let me welcome right now John Guandolo and Chris Gobbets to Stand in the Gap Today. John?
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
And Chris, glad to have you as well. Gentlemen, you've been on the program before. Our listeners appreciate your straightforwardness and the content, and I want you on here today because we have a subject matter that is across the news, but unfortunately, much of what we're hearing is not really the truth. So let me just kind of frame where we're going to go here again as we proceed forward. Yesterday, it was on this program, during the midst of that attack in Ohio, that at that point, an unnamed attacker on the Ohio State University campus, I suggested that based on two key facts, one, this individual used a machete, and the testimony of some other witnesses that this male attacker had appeared to be going insane, as some of them said, made it likely, I said, probable, that this individual would later, in fact, be identified as another jihadi Muslim with an attack on innocent American citizens. Now we know this attacker was indeed a Somali Muslim-wielding machete individual for which ISIS took credit, and the whole use of the machete is something that we've known ISIS have encouraged people to do. Now, that just being a setup here, John, I want to start right off with you with this question. Did this attack there at Ohio State University by this Somali Muslim, did it surprise you, or did it signal perhaps the first of more attempts by jihadi Muslims in the United States in their atrocities against innocent Americans?
Right. But it's a good beginning place for us today, and no, this did not surprise me or UTT or any of us here at UTT. This is the kind of thing we've been discussing for a long time. We've seen many of these attacks, the use of vehicles for jihad. We've seen it in places like Las Vegas. We've seen it at the University of North Carolina. We saw it out in California in Fremont, San Francisco, and other places. And so they are told, use whatever you can. Use the knife, use a gun, use a club, use an axe, use your car. Use whatever you can to wage jihad with whatever you have available. That's what this guy did. And one of the things I want folks that are listening to really understand, and I don't want to go too deep, is these acts are a part of the broader strategy. These individual acts of jihad, this is individual jihad. This is not a lone wolf. Legally, under Islamic law, this is individual jihad. Jihad can be an individual obligation, a communal obligation. So this guy was acting as an individual jihadi because he believed individual jihad was called for, and he heard the call, and he acted on it. That's how it works.
So, John, let me interrupt you. So at this point, what you're saying is, can I summarize it by saying this? This individual, based on some of the things I heard him saying, or at least the witnesses are saying, he believed that according to his belief system in the Quran and Sharia law, he, in fact, was doing exactly what he has been instructed to do. It happens to be totally contrary to our law, but it was in full compliance with his law. Is that correct?
Right, with Islamic law, correct. And so since 9/11, and really before 9/11, but certainly since 9/11, investigators immediately try to find a link between him and some group, and we're always shocked that there's no link, and then our FBI or whoever will dutifully get in front of the cameras and say, well, there's no link here to Al-Qaeda or no link here to ISIS. The link is Sharia. That's what it's all about. It's all about Sharia. It links all these organizations and all these jihadis together. So he doesn't need to join a group. All he needs to do is subscribe to Sharia and then act on it.
Let me go directly now to Chris. Chris, I want to ask you this question. In your professional opinion, because you worked inside care for a while, are all Muslim, or let's put it this way, mosque attending or practicing Muslims, are they terrorists, either of the stealth variety or the active variety, like we saw yesterday? Or how do we differentiate here in this perspective? In other words, just go deeper a little bit what we were talking about here.
Yeah, so to John's point, he said it pretty plainly on that. It's all about Sharia. So does every person that self-identifies as a Muslim, are they a threat? Well, the question is, do they adhere to Sharia or do they not adhere to Sharia? And that goes for mosque attendees. Look, not every person that goes to a mosque adheres to Sharia, but the mosque is going to be teaching them to adhere to Sharia. And that is the delineating factor in all of this. Who adheres to Sharia law and who does not? Not are you do you say that you're a Muslim or are you not a Muslim? It's do you adhere to Sharia law as a Muslim is supposed to, or do you not? That's the threat level, that right there, and it's pretty crystal clear.
All right, Chris Gobetz, Vice President of UTT, Understanding the Threat, and John Guandalo, President of Understanding the Threat. This is a great start to the program today. We're going to move now into segment two, and our theme there is going to be basic American Muslim facts. We're going to pick up off of some of what we're just talking about here. We're going to go through, ladies and gentlemen, a series of questions that will help you to understand what's really happening here in the Muslim community in the United States. Why? How many? Where are they? And what we should do about them. We're going to cover that in the next segment. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Today, people are living longer than their forebears. Right now, more than 1 million Americans are alive past age 100. That means you need to work toward having financial resources that can give you independence into your golden years. But weighing different investment options may make you feel overwhelmed. You need someone, a trusted friend, who can come alongside and help you keep the complex simple. That's where the Life Financial Group comes in. For nearly 40 years, the Life Financial Group has helped thousands of families, not only here in Pennsylvania, but nationwide, become even better financial stewards of God's blessings. Managing your investments may feel challenging, but by using a complete financial stewardship approach, you too can gain confidence and peace of mind that your wealth is protected and that you maintain your financial independence. With morally clean investment options, we can help you reach your goals while honoring your convictions. Call us at the Life Financial Group today at 610-385-4500 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
His death went unnoticed as he died the same day John F. Kennedy was shot. But his works are some of the most widely read in English literature. Originally an agnostic, he served in World War I and became a professor at Oxford and Cambridge. He wrote the Screwtape Letters and the Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe. His name was C.S. Lewis, born this day, November 29, 1898. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote, "The eternal being who knows everything and who created the whole universe became not only a man but a baby, and before that, a fetus in a woman's body."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Let me take this opportunity to offer a word of thanks for those of you listening who financially support our work at Pennsylvania Family Institute. Without your help and partnership, we wouldn't be here to stand for the sanctity of life, promote marriage and family, and to fight for religious liberty from those growing attacks coming from our government and radical atheist groups. We wouldn't be able to provide services like our primary and general election voters' guides, or fight against sex trafficking, save churches from unjust taxation, or help keep child evangelism fellowships access to the schools. We wouldn't have been here to stop Planned Parenthood's efforts to force their version of sex education on our public schools, or help pass health and safety guidelines on abortion clinics that has closed at least five of them across Pennsylvania. Your support really does make a difference. Thank you. For more information about us at the Pennsylvania Family Institute, go to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Picking up off of the shooting by the Somali Muslim in Ohio State University, we're using the program today to really provide, with the help of two experts, John Guandalo and Chris Gobbets, both of UnderstandingTheThreat.com, both with FBI involvement, former involvement, and knowing fully what is going on in the mind of Muslims in this country, the Muslim Brotherhood, and others. We're presenting this course, actually the program today, we're kind of entitling it Islamic Awareness Course 101. Now, in that first segment that we just heard, John and Chris, I think two important statements were made. One, as you both of you said, the key is Sharia. The focus is Sharia law and whether or not the Muslim living in America actually is identifying with and pursuing Sharia. And then, Chris, you said that it really determines as well whether or not that mosque is teaching it. Now, let me come back before I go into a series of questions. Are there really any mosques in this country that are not teaching Sharia?
Not that I know of, Sam. I've been to dozens of mosques, and I've actually prayed while I was undercover at mosques all over the country. And no, look, if somebody can find one that where the imam doesn't teach Sharia or teaches that Sharia is wrong, then, you know, please forward it to me. But I haven't found one yet.
Okay, so that being established, then, what you're really saying, based on your evidence and experience and all that, is that if a Muslim in America is, in fact, Muslim enough that they are attending mosque regularly, then at least you can make the conclusion that they are hearing preaching coming from the Quran, from the imam, that is promoting Sharia, and Sharia in its compliance supports, if not, yes, in fact, encourages individuals like this Somali individual at Ohio State University to kill infidels and other people. Would you agree with the with that statement I just said?
Yeah, and I would add one thing to that, Sam. Jihad, they will be taught jihad. Now, whether or not they actually go out and commit physical jihad, like the Ohio State attack, or whether they go out and stand in front of the media and say that this has nothing to do with Islam, or whether they go and work with their local legislator to have that legislator not speak out about Islam being the threat or Sharia being the threat. There are multiple ways of jihad, and they will 100% of authoritative Islamic law teaches that it's an obligation to wage jihad against non-Muslims. Now, the highest form of jihad is physical jihad, meaning that that's the only way a Muslim is guaranteed paradise is by dying a martyr for jihad. But there are other forms of jihad.
Okay. All right. Very good. Now, I have a series of questions here. John, let me go to you first, and we'll try to move down through to see if we can get them all in this segment here. First of all, let's take a look at the overall bigger picture in this country. How many Islamic jihadi types that we're talking about here, individuals, are there estimated to be in America, United States, right now?
Well, there's no real good estimation. You have to look at a few things. Number one, just the FBI itself says there are over 1,000 open cases, ISIS cases, on actual jihadis. So that doesn't mean there are 1,000 ISIS jihadis. It means there could be 10,000, just guys that directly support ISIS. It depends on how many individuals are involved in each case. Those are caseloads. But if we take if we look at the fact, what Chris is talking about, we have over 80% of the mosques, because he did some of this research in these mosques undercover, but also from testimony on Capitol Hill and from evidence that we have of which organizations and mosques are owned or controlled by Muslim Brotherhood leadership, which obviously Sharia will be taught in those mosques. We have over 80% in this country of the over 3,000 mosques. So, you know, you do the math. And if on any given day, and certainly on any given Friday when they go to prayers, that's being taught, then you have millions of Muslims in America that understand it. And you know, you'd have to crawl inside their head to say, do they actually believe it? The important thing for your listeners to understand is these jihadis that we see coming out of the Muslim community are being taught this in Islamic schools and Islamic mosques. So while you may say, well, there are only hundreds that have committed acts of jihad here in the United States, they're coming out of a cauldron of a Muslim community in the United States that teaches this.
Okay, let's go back to you now, Chris, on this. Basically what John is saying, the 3,000 mosques are there. They are teaching Sharia. I think, what do you say, 80% of them are controlled by the Muslim Brotherhood. They're there. They're getting this information. Now, the press will use this term self-radicalized as this guy out here in Ohio State. He just happened to whatever. Dispel or clarify that self-radicalized concept. Does that just happen, or is that a result of going to mosque and being taught?
Yeah. You know, this isn't a funny subject, but when I hear that term, I just have to laugh. There's no such thing as self-radicalization. What we mean by that is when a person picks up a Quran and the Sunnah, the Hadith, the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, and studies them, and that's what the basis of Sharia law is, the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad, when they study Islamic law, Sharia, and when they actually start to do what Sharia says, we call that radicalization. They call that being a good Muslim.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they're getting it basically in the mocks. They're not just happening to pick it up by listening to the news. They're being trained. So interrupt me if I'm saying wrong. Let me go back to you now here, John, and say this. This individual yesterday at Ohio State was identified as being from Somalia. Yet under the Obama administration, he has brought them in from Pakistan, Afghanistan, Syria. That's a lot of the discussion. Are certain nationalities of people, of Muslims, do some of them pose greater threats than others? Or really, is there not a whole lot of difference?
No, there's a problem coming from any of these nations, but obviously nations where Sharia is strictly enforced, Pakistan, Somalia, the ones you've mentioned, those are obviously clearly more dangerous.
All right. So then from a law enforcement perspective, part of what you would be teaching then law enforcement is that you would pay attention. It would make sense to be aware of who's there in the community as a Muslim. There would make sense to know whether or not they are attending mosque. And as a top layer, it may make sense to look more for those Pakistanis or those Somalis or whatever, where you know they come from Sharia. So you're saying those are some of the filters perhaps that you would teach law enforcement of how to be aware?
Right. Specifically, what we do is we teach them how to map out the jihadi network, so the places in the community that we know as a matter of fact. Support and teach Sharia adherence and teach teach jihad and teach the obligation to overthrow the man-made government and impose or establish a caliphate. Those are definitely markers. So now the Muslims argue and have come against what we're teaching because, of course, they don't want law enforcement to be taught this, but they're being taught, you know, they come against us saying, you know, you're teaching police to use as a statement of facts, essentially Muslims that are just worshiping, and they're just practicing Muslims. And what we're saying is the basis for these jihadis acting is Sharia, because they all say so. And we need to understand, our law enforcement needs to understand that Sharia adherence and visibly being able to see when people are Sharia adherent by how they dress, how they pray, how they grow their beard, what they do and don't wear as far as jewelry, how they wear their pants, the women, how they dress, that's all part of understanding Sharia adherence. And what is a fact is that when we see in a community a greater adherence to Sharia, there is a greater probability of violence, and those are facts. And in law enforcement, we deal with facts and real threats and real crimes, and that's all we're teaching.
All right. Let me, Chris, go back to you right now as we approach this next break. We're going to move into this next segment talking about the Muslim Brotherhood, more specifically in the role they play. But let me just have you set this part up by this point in saying, what role does the Muslim Brotherhood play and their sympathizers within this current Obama administration? You've actually used the word shadow government. What role have they been playing in the placement of these folks when they come into the country, or the coordinating of messaging, or what? Just give us a quick overview of the role the Muslim Brotherhood plays in the networking of jihadi Muslims across the country.
Sure. So one thing I like to always point out is when your listeners hear Muslim Brotherhood, they are no different than Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, Boko Haram, the Islamic State. Their goal is the same, to establish an Islamic State under Sharia, and that's per their own documents. That's not my opinion. The Muslim Brotherhood plays a role as far as leadership within the mosque. They play a role with groups like the Islamic Society of North America and the Council on American Islamic Relations to essentially lead our government in dealing with the Islamic threat, the Islamic State. They play the role as being the moderates, even though we know they're no different than Al-Qaeda or the Islamic State.
All right, very good. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Our theme is on basically a basic Islamic Awareness Course 101. Our guest, John Goondalo, Chris Gobitz of UnderstandingOurThreat.com. When we come back after the break here, we're going to focus more now on the Muslim Brotherhood and what to expect from this leadership group, this terrorist leadership group, going into the Trump administration here. Talk more about it. Stay with us.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Fox confirms Elaine Chao is President-elect Trump's pick for Transportation Secretary. She was Labor Secretary under President George W. Bush. It's Georgia Congressman Tom Price for Health and Human Services Secretary.
Price, a medical doctor, is one of Obamacare's most outspoken critics. Mr. Trump will meet for a second time this evening with former GOP presidential nominee Mitt Romney, still a top candidate for Secretary of State.
Fox's John Decker. Six survivors of a plane crash in Colombia are in hospitals, one with a spinal fracture.
There were 81 people on board this flight originating in Bolivia and headed to Colombia and carrying a pro soccer team from Brazil getting ready to play in its league finals in South America. The cause is under investigation. The aircraft was a British-built short-haul jet not often used by U.S. airlines.
Fox's Evan Brown. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYL.
Hey, Grandma, could you help me with this Common Core lesson? I just can't get it. They are teaching us to use emotional words to get our way. In my Voices workbook, see this question? My mom always nags me or asks me to clean my room. I chose asks me, and it was wrong. They want me to say she nagged me, but I didn't think that was fair or nice. Why was I wrong?
Oh, honey, you were right. That isn't nice. These Common Core lessons are awful.
Get Common Core out of your state. If you made this your one and only project, you could change the country. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
As we continue today with our Basic Islamic Awareness 101, as I'm calling it, we're going to invite back again our guest John Guandalo and Chris Gobbets, both of UnderstandingTheThreat.com. Their experience with the FBI, counterterrorism, and working inside Islamic organizations in this country uniquely qualifies them to comment on the subject matter today. Now, let me set this up here in this section by talking about the Muslim Brotherhood again. We had just a little bit of a review in the last segment. Chris, you were talking about the Muslim Brotherhood. They're the organizing end of the Islamic groups in the country, and no one should view them as any different from Al-Qaeda or ISIS or any of the other groups, Boko Haram, who these other groups that are out there, frankly, that are of the worst sort. Now, under this administration, the new Trump administration, obviously the public policy, law enforcement, Justice Department, all of those elements relative to illegal Islamic activity is going to be hopefully significantly different than it has been under the Obama administration. Matter of fact, one of the, I think it was the first recommendation by UTT to the Trump administration, was that they move forward in declaring the Muslim Brotherhood to be designated, as it rightly is, a terrorist organization. Now, I want to go to you, John, here first now and ask you, what is the likelihood that the Trump administration will name the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization?
Well, I think there's a very high likelihood. They've already been discussing it. I know for a fact that they're very well aware of our recommendations that we've actually made, that they've been at least looked at. And that is something that's very important. But at a minimum, I think one of the things that definitely needs to be considered, even if the Muslim Brotherhood were not designated a terrorist organization, is by designating the Muslim Brotherhood a foreign power, it gives investigators legally authority to do certain things investigatively, like the way we handle Soviet agents and others. It would be incredibly helpful to our FBI folks.
Okay. Chris, let me go to you. If that happens, obviously that's a whole new day for the Muslim Brotherhood and their sympathizers in government and out of government, in the media, all the way they have their folks placed around this country. I can't believe that they would sit back and just watch it happen and have their favored position under the Obama administration go into a designated terrorist entity notation under a Trump administration. So therefore, it raises the logical question. What do you think they're going to do to try to impose that, or are they just going to, change their colors and spots and try to fit in with whatever the Trump administration does?
Well, one of the first steps that they're going to take, and we can already see them doing this now, is partner with their media allies, which they have many, in mainstream media, to portray themselves as victims of oppression, of unfairly accused. We already saw, we just had a jihad attack yesterday in Ohio State, and who was in front of the cameras speaking about the fear of a Muslim backlash? It was Hamas doing business as CARE, Columbus, the CARE offices in Ohio. So that's one of the first steps they're going to do. They're going to play the victim role, and they're going to work with media. And media are witting or unwitting allies of Hamas, and often cases they're willing allies of Hamas. But that is one of the first things that we will see, and it's a continuation of their policies that they've gone forward. They will use the media to their advantage. They will also get prominent legislators, including Muslim Brotherhood, including Representative Keith Ellison, to stand out and speak publicly that this is unfair. And yet, when we look at the evidence, there is no lack of evidence that they're a jihadi organization. It's only been a lack of will by our leaders at the top levels to actually dismantle their jihadi network.
John, do you think that that the Muslim Brotherhood, that it serves their interest to encourage the kind of terrorist actions like we saw yesterday by the Somali insurgent there at Ohio State? Or do you think they perceive that kind of thing actually works against them and they use their influence to suppress that kind of action?
No, that the kind of things that we saw at Ohio State are a part of their strategy. So they actually use it to further their movement. And the way the media responds, as Chris just said, is actually assisting them in their movement. I am not as kind as Chris is when it comes to the media. It's 15 years since 9/11. The fact that I don't know CARE is a Hamas group, and Fox and CNN and NBC and ABC and CBS and MSNBC and all the rest of them, except for maybe Breitbart and a few others, identify CARE as a civil rights group, or they just don't say anything about it. They don't mention that they're a Hamas entity. And so my question is, every time something happens, we've been sending them the factual basis that CARE is Hamas, but they're not reporting it. So the media is a willing accomplice. in this, or else they're just grossly ignorant, stupid, negligent, whatever it is. They have to choose which one of those it is. But you need to understand that what they're doing is when there's violence, see, CARE can point to that and go, hey, we're not that. We're the moderates. We're the peaceful guys. Look to us to help you frame your understanding of the threat. And what did we see yesterday? The FBI holding a press conference about these letters that CARE is screaming about threatening mosques in California. And the FBI itself says they're not even sure these aren't fake. And we have plenty of evidence demonstrating that the Muslim Brotherhood and the Islamic community have done things like set their own mosques on fire, vandalize their own mosques, and the law enforcement or FBI have discovered that they were essentially done as an inside job to create this stir. So you've got two things going on. We're not ISIS, we're not Al-Qaeda, and then we're going to create stuff so we can then beat you over the head with it so you will tell others to be nice to us.
All right. I think, John, that's critical. Chris, let me go back and follow up on that just a bit here. On one hand, the terrorist actions, as we saw yesterday at Ohio State, is, in fact, a completion of a fulfillment of teaching, Sharia law teaching, coming out of the mosques, the 3,000 mosques across the country. So on one hand, the Islamic thought, the Muslim Brotherhood, encourages that kind of thing to happen because it is, in fact, obedience to the Quran and Sharia law. It does produce some kind of an attitude within the culture. Would the reason for that be to create a fear level, an unsettledness within the population generally? Is that what they're hoping to create by that? And then by having these press conferences you talked about yesterday, by coming back and saying, well, we're not really them. They play good cop, bad cop. At the end of the day, they're both bad cops.
Yeah, and let me give you a real-world example of this. So what did the jihadi yesterday say that his problem was? Was that he didn't, Ohio State didn't offer adequate prayer rooms, Muslim prayer rooms, right? Mm-hmm. So the next time a university gets requests for Muslim prayer rooms, how open do you think they're going to be to having those Muslim prayer rooms? Because they saw the effect of not opening more Muslim prayer rooms. It was a jihad attack on their campus. So this is how you advance the agenda. You make a request. If the request isn't accommodated, then there's an act of jihad. CARE comes in and comes on the campus and says, hey, we're the moderates. We'll show you how to prevent this type of thing from happening. All you have to do is just accommodate us when we make a request per Sharia law.
This is a great strategy. I mean, it's a demonic strategy, but it's an amazing strategy. John, let me go back to you. It's not just CARE. I think before you talked about many, many organizations across the country under different names. I think you used a number of 1,000 or more. Tell us a little bit about the extent of this Muslim Brotherhood network across the country that is there to put this kind of a soft face on an otherwise evil, horrendously evil ideology.
Right. Well, you have just right off the top, you've got, speaking of college campuses, you have at Ohio State a very strong Hamas presence in the Muslim Students Association. This is the same Ohio State University that, I don't know about last year, but the year before, you had graduating students walking across stage wearing Hamas colors from the Muslim Student Association, which, by the way, evidence in the largest terrorism and Hamas terrorism financing and Hamas trial in American history shows the MSA is part of the Muslim Brotherhood's network to wage civilization jihad in the United States. And they're on every major college campus in America, over 700 chapters. So let's start with that. And we've had many. The national president of the Muslim Student Association several years ago was an Al-Qaeda financier who's now in prison. So the network is vast in the United States. Thousands of Islamic centers and organizations across the country.
All right, John Gondalo and Chris Gobbets of UnderstandingAThreat.com. We're going to come back, ladies and gentlemen, and join again in this next segment. And we're going to go to this issue here. What can the average American do to identify, expose, and counter the jihadist strategy, which is infiltration, it's intimidation, and it's ultimately conquering? We're going to get good information when we come back. Stay with us.
Live, love, learn, and leave a legacy. These are great words. But if you want to leave a legacy to your children and grandchildren these days, it's going to take some careful planning. And that's where we come in. We're the Life Financial Group, advisors you can trust. We're Christian, families based upon the Bible, so that we can say we truly understand your values. In fact, for nearly 40 years, folks of all ages have counted on us to care for and grow their financial resources. Through prayer, prudent investment, and pleasant, knowledgeable people, we can help you navigate your investments so you feel secure. We're glad to offer morally clean investment options that won't sear your conscience or make you anxious. We're also comfortable talking about increasing the impact of your charitable giving. How do we make a difference? So learn how you can have peace of mind by calling us today at 610-385-4500. That's 610-385-4500. Or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
I'm Jan Mark Hill, helping you understand the times.
Prophecy can help us probe into the future. Peter tells us that this is the role that Bible prophecy should play during these days as we await for the Lord.
Someone has said the greatest commodity we have is our time. Americans spend a great deal of time being entertained, so much so that it has become an American value. In the days of Noah, the people spent so much time on themselves that they were unaware when the rain began to fall. Jesus said that it would be that way again in the last days. People's number one problem is that they are unaware of God and His plan for this world. Being unaware will not be an excuse when the world falls back into the hands of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I hope you are ready. For more information, listen to our weekend program on this station or anytime at olivetreeviews.org.
Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, September 12, 1777.
WFYL, this is Russ.
Russ, I missed my favorite radio program. Is there any way to listen to it after it's been aired?
Well, you can go to our website, 1180WFYL.com. That's 1180WFYL.com, and listen to our podcast.
What's a podcast?
A podcast is a show or program that is archived on a website, which you can access from your mobile phone or computer. Just go to our website, 1180WFYL.com, and click on the menu bar the word podcasts. From there, you'll be shown a list of our available programs that we produce locally, and you can listen to them anytime you like, 24/7.
Oh, that sounds great. Thanks so much for your help.
Thank you for calling and for listening. God bless.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, as we wrap up the program today in this very important segment in this program that we're kind of entitling Basic Islamic Awareness 101, this is a crash course. And I'd like to encourage all of you who are listening, to go to our website, standinthegapradio.com. You can pick it up and you can re-listen to this program. Send it on to your friends. Copy the link, send it on to your friends and others to listen to this program. This information today is simple, but it is very, very, very profound. John Goondalo and Chris Gobbins from understandingthethreat.com, thanks for being with me today. And if I could, as we enter into this last segment, if I'd summarize briefly this last segment we went through about the Muslim Brotherhood, the key things I wrote down that you said was this: Muslims and the Muslim Brotherhood will always try to play the victim role. And they are trying to do that. They use the media to their advantage. They will use elected officials like others that are sympathizers. The media, in their coverage of this, will attempt to play the terrorist, like we saw the Somali at Ohio State University, play him as an extremist, when in fact, reality is, according to Sharia law, he is the best candidate. He is the perfect Muslim. So they play both ends against the middle. At the same time, they are advancing their cause across the spectrum. If I could summarize a little bit what we talked about. And, John, you said there are many, many organizations connected with Muslim Brotherhood in existence across the country. You named just one, MSA, Muslim Students Association, connected directly with Muslim Brotherhood on our college campuses, actually are a part of the problem. Now, let me just go from there into this next segment here. John, let me start with you. One of our regular guests, former Iraqi, former Muslim, that we've had on the program, he has said the most effective tool in helping to disarm and expose what's taking place with this kind of deception we just described here taking place in America is, in fact, the truth. Do you agree with that? And if not, what is the most effective tool that our listeners should understand that they should get a hold of and use as a way of arming themselves against what is taking place here with complicity by the media and many in political office?
So, yes, what UTT does is we speak truth into a real threat, a clear and present danger to the United States and its citizens. From the basic perspective, yes, we encourage people to go to our website, understandthethreat.com, read the articles there, use the resources, subscribe to our YouTube channel, Understand the Threat, go to Facebook, Understanding the Threat, UTT_USA is our Twitter account, and so you're constantly updated on what's going on. We have the book Raising a Jihadi Generation, which summarizes both the jihadi network here in the United States, as well as a short section on Sharia. And we have a new book coming out called It's All About Sharia, which will delve into great detail about it. We have a DVD. So the first thing, the three things I would start out with about this is, number one, you have to know the threat, not because Chris and I are saying it, but because you realize that this is actually what it is, and it's much worse than we can discuss in just an hour program. Two, you need, I believe, the next thing is people need to bring that information to others. So bring the law enforcement training to your local and state law enforcement. And we need support for that. We need financial support for that. We need people to talk to their sheriffs, give them a copy of the book. Another thing people can do is our Understanding the Threat to America DVD. What people have been doing is they get a copy of it, and then they show it at their VFW, at their church, at their whatever, once they themselves have a good idea of the threat. And then we can actually do it, so at the end of that showing, one of us can Skype in and discuss the updates and answer questions for people, and that's a great way to get the information out. So those three things as a starting point: learn it, bring the training. Oh, and then the third thing I didn't mention is holding people accountable. The two most important people groups in this world, in this war,
our sheriffs and pastors, and we need to hold them accountable. Many sheriffs are not aware of this, and so educating them, and we talk about truth, and there are, I would argue, a majority of pastors in this country that are ignoring this issue out of fear, or they simply don't know the truth about this issue, both of which should be grave concerns for people if your pastor is unaware of truth and is too afraid to speak it. Then maybe what he needs to do, he or she, maybe they need to go find another vocation in their life. But we need to hold them. We need to hold elected officials. We need to hold our local media accountable. And there's a lot you can do. You know, if a media outlet in your local area isn't talking about this, or any time they talk about CARE, they talk about them as a loving, cuddly little civil rights group, you should find out who the three or four or five most active sponsors of that newspaper, of that radio show are. And you ought to get together folks in the community to say, we're not going to buy any of your products till you dump them as their sponsors, and see what happens. You'll see the tune start to change, but you have to be active. This war is going to be won or lost at the local level. So those are starting blocks.
Okay, John, that's good. I'm just going to repeat them very quickly. I'm going to rephrase them. You said, know the threat. That's what we're trying to inform our listeners across the country. Know the threat, number one. Number two, share the truth about the threat. I'm going to rephrase it slightly, and that includes a UTT DVD, which can be purchased on your online. And then thirdly, hold people accountable. People in positions of authority, be they in the pulpit, be they in office, to actually know this effort and to do something about it. Chris, let me go to you here next. And what should a person actually do with the relative to the Muslim living next door? Now, what John described was things that we may see in the media, misrepresentations, deceptions, or that kind of thing, helping law enforcement to know the truth, encouraging our pastors to actually preach the truth, that this matter of Sharia is a competing system of law to biblical truth in the Constitution. That has a right to come from the pulpit. But how should we respond to the person next door? We only have about 30 seconds or so. So how could you answer that?
Yeah, look, the bottom line is just because someone is your neighbor or a coworker and they're a Muslim and they're friendly, does not mean that they represent a different version of Islam. There is only one Islam. There is only one Sharia. And so, look, the Bible teaches us to love our enemies, but that doesn't mean that we are ignorant or naive. And so we just have to be aware of the threat, understand the threat, and just speak truth at all times and at all places.
All right. Well, great program. John Gondalo, Chris Gobbets of UnderstandingTheThreat.com. Crash Course on Basic Islamic Awareness 101. Ladies and gentlemen, get the program. Go to the website, standinthegapradio.com. Listen to this again. Fantastic information in a condensed form. Share it with your friends and your neighbors, information that you should know. Well, this is Sam Rohr for Stand in the Gap today. Thank you for being with us, and we encourage you to join us again tomorrow, just 23 hours from now, as we pick up, and we will be joined by our special guest, Jimmy DeYoung, on this program as we go to geopolitical events around the world. See you then.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180.